Dolphins and the Bills tonight. Ken Lavica from ESPN 106.3 joins us. Ken, how are you?
Jason, Robin, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Ken. I want to preface this by saying I am a Miami Dolphins fan, so I'm a little bit perturbed at parts of the game. I'm very curious if Philbin's the worst coach in the final 2 minutes of a game or not. But anyway, the offensive line, Albert's easily being the best offensive lineman they've had. He's out, so James is going to have to move from right tackle to left, and I think Coolidge might not even play. This seems like they're shuffling the deck quite a bit on the offensive line. How do you think it's going to impact it tonight?
Yeah, and this is not the game where you want a reshuffling of the offensive line, because you can argue that the Bills are the best front line defensively in all of football and have the best front seven in the NFL. Guys like Marcell Dareus, Mario Williams, they have made not only Dolphins' lives difficult over the last two seasons, but the NFL as a whole. And they got at Ryan Tannehill in a bad way earlier in the year. He was sacked four times. The Finns were held to 64 yards in the first half in that really ugly, non-competitive loss that the Finns had at Ralph Wilson Stadium. And so tonight, you mentioned Darren College, the veteran. He has missed the last 2 weeks of practice with a head injury suffered in the win over Jacksonville. I would doubt that he plays tonight. So you've got a veteran that's not going to play there, another veteran in Brandon Albert who's done for the season with the right knee injury, and that does put the rookie Juwan James in a very bad position against this very talented front for the Bills. I will say, the Lions last Sunday, they have one of the better defensive fronts in the NFL, too. And Juwan James, once he moved from right tackle to left tackle, I thought did a very nice job. I know I'm taking a small sample size. It's still a major concern, but I think Juwan James, who is the left tackle of the future, just a little bit earlier than Dennis Hickey and company thought, he's capable of doing it. But tonight is a major test very early in his career.
Yeah, Ken, when I look at this matchup, that O-line being shuffled against a bunch of guys who like to get after it for the Bills, that's the number one storyline for me. And when I look at it, I think Tannehill's either going to have to run for his life or get rid of the ball faster than he wants to, and he's not great at dealing with pressure in the pocket.
No, he's not. He tends to take sacks as opposed to just throwing the ball away. You mentioned getting rid of the ball quick. That is the key tonight. Quick throws, intermediate routes. Anybody who watches the Dolphins knows that Ryan Tannehill can't hit the deep ball if his life depended on it. So you're not even going to want him to take a five-step drop and step up and try and throw it deep tonight. You want to hit those 5 to 7 yard passes. And then if you can get an opening, hit it down the seam for 10 to 15 yards. Look what turned the offense around for the Dolphins against Detroit on Sunday. The Finns are struggling. They're down two scores. Then their scoring drive right before the half, pitch pass, pitch pass, pitch pass. One left, one right, back to the left, three plays, three first downs, and suddenly the Lions defense was opened up. And that is what the Dolphins are going to have to do tonight. You're going to see Bill Lazor, the Finns offensive coordinator, I would think, dial those up, hit the edges before you try and attack Buffalo up the middle, because if you do that and Tannehill's sitting in the pocket, he's going to get hit. It's going to be a problem, and the Dolphins are going to be effective in a negative way. So, yes, Ryan Tannehill getting rid of the football, and you're right, the offensive line of the Finns against the Bills defensive line, that is the matchup tonight. It's going to be key for Tannehill to get that ball out of his right hand.
When you look at the Bills and or maybe the Dolphins defense against Orton, we talk about Tannehill, not being great at getting the ball, especially downfield. It's not like the Bills offense is something that should really strike the fear, especially with Fred Jackson not going to go.
Yeah, Fred Jackson has that groin problem, so he will not see the field tonight in Miami Gardens. And you're right, Kyle Orton, he's hardly someone that you look at and say, well, there you go, there's a Super Bowl quarterback for you. Someone who is scrap heap, someone who is sort of a desperation move by the Bills moving away from E.J. Manuel. And I do think Doug Marrone made the right decision, and I do give Doug Marrone an awful lot of credit. He knew something that no one else did, and he was roundly criticized for it, but went to Orton. And who knows what that's going to do to E.J. Manuel the rest of his career. But Orton has paid dividends for the Bills. He's at least been a calming, consistent influence back there for the Buffalo Bills. That said, this has been a defensive line for the Dolphins. And as much as I've gushed about the Bills' defensive front so far, the Dolphins have been just as good. And I would put the Dolphins' pass rush against any pass rush in the NFL. And then that secondary, well, it's undersized, and they're hit tonight with Cortland Finnegan not playing. But Brent Grimes is having an all-pro season, and the interception of the year last week against the Lions, covering Megatron one-on-one, where he did a very formidable job and made life very difficult, especially in the second half for Megatron. I think that there are going to be instances tonight, opportunities to turn the football over, and the Dolphins can get to Kyle Orton. The pass rush is going to be there. The secondary has played well. So, yes, this is going to be – it's why I think it's going to be a low-scoring game tonight, because both defenses are going to be able to tee off to an extent. And I know it's cliche, and any coach could tell you this, oh, turnovers are key. But tonight might be the example, because there are going to be turnovers to be had. They're going to be on the table, and who takes most advantage of them is who's going to win this big one tonight.
Ken, winning this game guarantees nothing. I'm wondering about who loses this game. Does, whether it's Miami or the Bills, does either team have a chance coming out of this game with a loss?
No. 5-5 in the AFC and you're done, in my opinion. I think if you're the Dolphins especially, and I'll focus on them because this is the team that I'm covering on a daily basis, the Dolphins lose this one and Joe Philbin likely is not surviving. And I'm okay saying that after week 11. Joe Philbin does not survive the Dolphins going 5-5 because look at the rest of the way for the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. You still have to go to Denver next Sunday, which you can pretty much chalk that up as a loss. The Ravens come in the Sun Life Stadium. That's not a guarantee. In fact, Baltimore probably going to end up being a favorite or on the right end of the odds for that game. I think 10 wins is the magic number in the AFC, and let's not forget this is a Finns team that lost at home with a playoff spot on the line to the lowly, terrible New York Jets season finale last year, so I can't say either of these Jets games coming up are guaranteed. You have to go to New England. If you go to 5-5, where in the world are five more wins coming from in the final 7 weeks of the season? I'm not buying that it actually can take place, so the Bills are in the same spot. 5-5, you are done. And then on the other side, the team that improves to 6-4 is mere percentage points behind Cleveland, or Cincinnati, I should say, for the final wild card spot in the AFC. It really is. The difference between 6-4 and 5-5 tonight absolutely makes a season.
Talking Dolphins and Bills Thursday Night Football, you can listen to it right here on TSN 1260. Ken Lavica joins us from ESPN in West Palm out in Florida for the Dolphins. Ken, it's obvious, loser tonight, pretty much done. There's no way you can jump over that many other teams to get to the playoffs. The Dolphins have had some losses. You know, last week, the Green Bay one, I know Finnegan's not playing tonight, where, you know, how to keep the guy in bounds, and maybe the clock runs out. You know, the Bills coming off a game they felt that they should have played better at. Who do you think is the better team right now tonight, injuries and everything included?
You know, it's funny. I do feel the angst in your voice over Joe Philbin's late timeouts and Cortland Finnegan's laziness against the Packers. I do appreciate that. But I think top to bottom, the Dolphins are more talented and are the better team. I really, truly believe that. And I think Tannehill is a better option at quarterback than Orton. I know that Buffalo's featuring Sammy Watkins, and we talk about how great that defense is. But you look at the Dolphins' weapons, and you have a Mike Wallace who is much better in short yardage situations than I thought he would be and is at least starting to make an impact when he's not getting the deep ball. Charles Clay is the total X factor in this offense. The tight end who had that critical drop in the end zone in the fourth quarter last week, but is so good in such a tough matchup against defenses. Lamar Miller has really come into his own now in the backfield for the Dolphins, and I just love the Finns' pass rush. I think the secondary has been a very pleasant surprise. The Dolphins, in my mind, are the better team. They are the squad with the higher ceiling as well. Unfortunately, when you look at the coaches, it's a total wash in my mind between Joe Philbin and Doug Marrone, and I'm with you where I'm on the side that criticizes Philbin and doesn't think that he actually is the guy to lead the Dolphins to where they probably should end up being and could be. But better team tonight, that's why I think they're going to win. The Dolphins, at home in a critical spot, get it done, because they are better than the Bills are.
Well, that takes care of 1 week, Ken. We've talked about Philbin in your mind, because bad plays, I mean, that cost you games matter, but the bigger picture, you see how this guy operates. Does he survive a non-playoff year? Any chance?
I would be very, very surprised unless something New York Jetsian happened where the Dolphins are knocked out of playoff contention, but they roll off their final three games, and there's good feeling, and there's a knee-jerk, you know, one-year contract extension like Rex Ryan got. But if the Dolphins finish 7-9, 8-8, maybe even 9-7, that's it for Philbin, because that would make him just a .500 mediocre coach. And potentially Jim Harbaugh is on the table for you. And Dolphins owner Stephen Ross, being a big-time Michigan man, University of Michigan donor, has thrown millions of dollars into that university. He has a great relationship with Harbaugh. You remember it was Harbaugh that got him in trouble when he went to court him for the Dolphins head coaching job and really left Tony Sperano hanging in the wind there. So I think that if Harbaugh is available, if the Dolphins can make a deal or even make a trade with the 49ers, they would do that post-haste instead of waiting around to see what one more year of Joe Philbin is going to look like. And when you keep getting reports like you have today from the NFL Network, where unidentified Dolphins players are feeling like their relationship with Bill Lazor is rocky, they don't like how he approaches them as a coach, doesn't like his inconsistent game plan, I think that's a complete synopsis of the Joe Philbin era in Miami. You add in the bullying scandal last year and the fact, again, the fans have been nothing but mediocre under Joe Philbin. I don't think that he advances into 2015 if the Finns go 7-9, 8-8, and even 9-7.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Leadership has to start from the top. And when you have all those sorts of small things going on, it's easier at times to lose games that you should win, because maybe there's just not that confidence or cohesiveness in the team.
Sure, and it opens up into criticism as well. That stuff leaks out, and it just compounds your problems, because then it's an easy place to go to blame for the losses. And it's things you don't hear coming out of the New England Patriots locker room or the Denver Broncos locker room. Up until the last couple of weeks, the Seattle Seahawks locker room. It's just one thing after another with the Dolphins, and sometimes you just need to blow it up and start fresh.
And quickly, Lamar Miller, how many reps are you going to get tonight?
I believe that he is much better off going into tonight than he was against the Lions with that shoulder injury. I would think you see carries between 15 and 20 touches tonight, and the Dolphins better hope he can carry that workload, because Daniel Thomas has given you absolutely nothing. So Damian Williams might have to be a guy that you lean on. But, yeah, I think between 15 and 20 is pretty reasonable for Lamar Miller tonight.
Ken, I appreciate the rundown. Enjoy the game.
Hey, guys, appreciate it. Thank you.